if and when she arrived. It was a cold night, and little Beth would be upset enough at being parted from her father without arriving tired and hungry. I knew that plans in social care often change unavoidably at the last minute, but I thought the social worker might have telephoned to let me know what was going on. A little while later, I told Paula it was time for her to go to bed. We were in the living room at the rear of the house, snug and warm, with the curtains closed against the cold, dark night. Paula and Adrian were sitting on the floor. Paula had been building a castle out of toy bricks, and Adrian was poring over a large, beautifully illustrated book on vintage cars and motorbikes he'd been given as a Christmas present 3 weeks previously. Tosha, our lazy, lovable cat, was curled up on her favourite chair.
"I thought that girl was coming,"
Adrian said, glancing up from his book.
"So did I," I said.
"Perhaps her father isn't as ill as they thought, and she was able to stay at home. I hope so." Adrian, aged 6, had some understanding of what fostering meant from having children stay with us previously, while Paula, aged 2, wasn't really old enough to understand, although I tried to explain that a girl aged 7 who was called Beth might be coming to stay with us for a while. All I knew of Beth, other than her age, was that she lived with her father and that he was now ill and likely to be admitted to a psychiatric hospital. That was all the social worker had told me when she telephoned, and I'd hoped to learn more from her when she arrived with Beth. I rose from where I'd been sitting on the sofa and went over to Paula to help her pack away the toy bricks.
"Bedtime, love," I said again. "I thought that girl was coming," Paula said, repeating Adrian's comments.
She was at an age where she often copied her older brother. I heard him give a little sigh.
"I don't think she will be coming now," I said to Paula. "It's rather late."
But just as I began collecting together the plastic building bricks, the doorbell rang, making us all jump. Both children looked at me expectantly.
"Perhaps it is them after all," I said.
"Stay here and I'll go and see." With my husband John working away, I was cautious when I answered the door after dark. Leaving Adrian and Paula in the living room, I went down the hall and to the front door where I first peered through the security spy hole. The porch light was on and I could make out a woman and a child. Reassured, I opened the front door.
"Sorry we're so late," the woman immediately apologised. "I'm Jessie, Beth's social worker. We spoke on the phone. You must be Kathy. This is Beth."
I smiled and looked at Beth, who was standing close to her social worker. She wore a grey winter's coat buttoned up to the top. She was pale, but her cheeks were flushed and her eyes were puffy from crying. She clutched a tissue in one hand, which she pressed to her nose.
"Oh, love," I said, "you must be very tired and worried. Come in." "I want my daddy," Beth said, her eyes filling.
"I understand," I said, touching her arm reassuringly. Jessie eased Beth over the doorstep and then brought in a very large suitcase.
"We stopped off at Beth's house to get her clothes," Jessie explained as I closed the front door. "It took longer than I expected. Beth wanted to change out of her school uniform and then we had to pack. She was worried about washing her clothes and the food in the fridge spoiling. I've told her not to worry, that you'll wash her clothes here and the house will be fine."
I smiled again at Beth. "That's right. There's nothing for you to worry about. I'll look after you." Although I wondered that a 7-year-old had thought about laundry that needed to be done or food spoiling. "Would you like to take off your coat?" I asked her. "And we'll hang it here on the hall stand." Beth began to undo her buttons and then let Jessie help her out of her coat. I hung it on the stand and Jessie did the same with hers.
"I want to be with my daddy," Beth said again.
"It's just for a short while until daddy is better," Jessie reassured her.
"Come on through and meet my son and daughter, Adrian and Paula," I said. "They're looking forward to meeting you." Jessie took Beth's hand and I led the way down the hall and into the living room. My first impression of Beth was that she'd been well cared for at home and was now clearly missing her father dreadfully. Jessie, I guessed, was in her late 30s, smartly dressed in black trousers and a pale blue jumper. She seemed stressed,